Welcome into this archived episode of the Original Essay Talk podcast. It's your favorite local podcast host and retirement advisor, Zach Espericueta. With the changes to the original podcast and rebrand in May of 2021, the current events and interview follow-up segments were taken out of these archived episodes for easier accessibility to the interview itself. Most new listeners just want to hear the interview anyway. Keep that in mind if you hear any references made to other segments or when you hear some of the old podcast music. I really hope you enjoy this interview. Be sure to give the podcast a rate and review on Apple Podcasts and a follow on social media at Essay Pod Network. Enjoy the episode. So welcome back to the Essay Talk podcast. Like I mentioned earlier, we have a special guest joining us today by the name of Hugh Farr. Hugh is currently the Chief Development Officer at Big Brothers Big Sisters of South Texas. Big Brothers Big Sisters aims to provide children facing adversity with one-to-one mentoring relationships in hopes to change their lives for the better. This amazing organization began in New York City, but has been in South Texas since the 70s. Hugh is a native of Oklahoma City and attended St. Mary's University and has called San Antonio home since 1978. Hugh, first of all, thank you for all that you have done and continue to do for the youth of San Antonio, and welcome into the podcast.
It's a pleasure to be with you all. Thank you.
And so, Hugh, you know, kind of give us that background story of how you got associated and started working with Big Brothers Big Sisters.
Of course. Well, many years ago, when I was much younger, I was invited to be a mentor, a big myself. And the truth of the matter is, I was not mature enough to do it. I just had not grown up enough to be a successful mentor to a child that needed me. And so I did let that child down. And that has stayed with me. And I've never really forgotten or really forgiven myself for that. Since then, I've just dedicated my professional career to the service of children. When I worked at the Salvation Army, there was a focus on children, homeless children, children whose parents were various degrees of homelessness. Then later, when I worked at the Cystic Fibrosis Foundation, it was children who were suffering from this terrible disease. If you're familiar with what that is, it's an awful genetic lung disease for which there is still no cure, though the lifespan has dramatically improved. And then here at Big Brothers Big Sisters, where it really came full circle, I was able to become part of this incredible team doing truly transformative work in the lives of young people across our community. So the common thread, if you will, throughout my career has been in the service of children. And it's especially resonated here because, as I said, when I started as a much younger person, invited to be a mentor and was just not a very good one, that this second act, if you will, in my career allowed me to at least work doubly hard to correct my own errors in the past. And as the chief development officer, my role is to bring dollars, raise awareness, invite volunteers to join our ranks. It's with that in the back of my mind that drives me to push myself as hard as I can all the time. I don't always achieve the desire that I wish, but I can always say that I'm trying. This podcast, for example, is another great opportunity for this agency to extend its reach into your audience. So once more, thank you very much for this opportunity, this platform, to be able to expand and amplify this message, because it is absolutely transforming children's lives one match at a time, one big brother, one big sister, and one little at a time.
Absolutely. And Hugh, tell us a little more about Big Brothers Big Sisters. Where did it start? And what exactly is the mission? What do you guys do?
Great question. This started in the Northeast. This began as really mostly around young men. It didn't involve big sisters until later on. And it was an attempt to address young men who were in the juvenile justice system, who had no hope and who were trying to break that cycle of repeated incarceration. Early on, the founder of Big Brothers Big Sisters understood and recognized that young people writ large, in that case, it was just young boys, but broadly speaking, young people need advocates in their life to help them maintain good behaviors, eliminate bad behaviors, to stay in school, to pursue a career outside of high school, and to eventually return to their communities or wherever they land and become productive members of society, to become invested in civic organizations, to vote, to raise their children, to be active in their communities, on their school boards, to be engaged in every sense of the word. And we started this particular branch, this affiliate of the agency in the mid 70s, about 1974. And since then, we've been involved in this work. What is distinct about Big Brothers Big Sisters approach to mentorship is that it involves one-to-one relationships. And that's significant because many other really very good mentoring organizations do similar work, but their approach does not include the one-to-one piece. So this is a lifelong friendship. After a child is introduced to the adult, the little is what we call the child, the big, either big sister, big brother, are introduced in the home with a case manager present. And then that adult and that child will go off and recreate, have fun, go to movies, throw the ball, throw the frisbee, go to art openings, go to get a haircut, go to an auto parts store, go grocery shopping, really any kind of relationship building activity where confidence can be built up such that these two people can begin and develop a lifelong friendship. And that's the essence of what this is all about, is creating lifelong friendships with the understanding that these relationships are developmental. And all of us need help developing developmental relationships, whether it be to our priest, our rabbi, our pastor, imam, whether it be to our elected officials, people in the judicial system, whether it be to our bosses, our colleagues, how we interact with people, the understanding of treating people with dignity and respect, that there's equal opportunity for everyone, that there isn't a hierarchy, that a woman working alongside a man is not a threat, that in fact is an enhancement to the relationship. There's so much that we can learn from each other, especially from our fellow colleagues, especially from women, about things that we just aren't attuned to knowing on our own, and that we can also learn from our male colleagues. And so these are the developmental framework, if you will, that we all operate this program in. And ultimately, the goal of this agency is to, once a child is graduated from our program, that they will follow one of the three E's that we say, to either be employed, to enlist, or to pursue education. And that education can be university training, college, technical school, trade education, but one of those three E's, and that's what we want. And it doesn't always happen. Just like with child rearing, there are peaks and there are valleys. There are setbacks, two steps forward, one step back. It doesn't always happen according to the plan. But with intentionality, with a focus on those outcomes, we found that our program can be very successful. And I'll tell you about two young people that I've had the pleasure of working with in my tenure here, one of whom is on our board. Many charities will install a client that they serve on their board of governance, and we're no different. And this young man has said to us for many years that he wanted to grow up to be a fashion magnate, a fashion mogul. Okay, well, he's talking to the wrong guy because I have no fashion sense and no sense of style. So maybe I need to be his little brother because he's going to help me get my act together. Well, he's decided now to go on to college, and he's been accepted to college. And he's a swimmer, and he's going on a swimming scholarship. And this is just tremendous because he is the first in his family to ever go to college. He's been accepted now. He's going to go away to college, which is even better. So his world is going to just be blown wide open in a beautiful way. Another young man who has tremendous anxiety problems. He has brothers who are incarcerated. He has just completed his associate's degree, and he has designs on going to medical school. And these are just two small examples of the transformative power that this program has in the lives of so many of these young people. I call them both children. They're not children. They're young men. They're young people. It's incredible just to play a tiny tangential role in seeing these young people, their dreams come to fruition.
And so here you talked about how the most important key to Big Brothers Big Sisters is that one-on-one mentorship. Correct. And you were very transparent talking about how, you know, you weren't ready to be a mentor when you were younger. So how do you find the right match? How do you find a mentor that really is going to take them all the way through and see their success?
It's a great question. You know, this volunteer work, because it does require a deeper commitment than what some people assume volunteering is. And I understand it's different in different contexts. You know, we too put on special events throughout the year and need volunteer help for those particular event activities. They're a 2 or 3 or 4 hour, for example, a block of time. But a big brother or a big sister, we do ask for a minimum of year, 1 year of their commitment, because that's the only way that a match in our context is going to stick. And you have to also keep in mind that many of these children have been matched multiple times before. So they've seen people come and go in and out of their lives with great speeches and great stories about how they're going to help them. And we have to be sensitive to their sensitivity and their levels of confidence. And maybe they're diminished. And therefore, we need to take extra steps to ensure that we elevate their level of comfort and confidence where this new match is concerned. And so, yes, we do a very thorough screening and interview process that's personal and confidential, where we ask our mentor candidates very, very specific questions about their past, about who they are, about what they want for themselves personally and professionally, and what they are looking for in their one-to-one relationship with a child that they would be matched with. And in that discovery process, that's where we will weed out those that might not be suited for this kind of work. And it's done so by design, because if someone says, yes, I want to be a mentor in your program, wonderful. But they have to go through this. They have to go through training. They have to go through many other steps before they can be part of the match experience. And as I say, that's done by design so that we get the very best candidate for this work, because it is very, very sacred to be matched with a child in a one-to-one relationship, hopefully for the rest of those two people's lives. And so we're going to take very deliberate care. This process does not turn on a dime, but it's designed to protect both the child's family, their parents or parent or guardian, as well as the big, so that expectations can be managed. And so that the very best outcome and therefore the very best match can be made in that relationship. So it takes time. It's very deliberative. It's very involved and intentional, but all those steps are in place so as to protect every person in the process so that the outcome, the match, will stick, will last, and truly create a beautiful lifelong friendship for those two people.
Well, I think it's comforting for people to know that there is a structured process to vet a big. And of course, there are qualifications that are needed for that person. But focusing on the little, how are they referred to big brothers, big sisters?
Great question. We are referred, children are referred to this agency from their parents, their parent, a guardian, a relative, a grandparent, a pastor, a priest, a school counselor, a teacher, a friend, anyone who has a connection with a child who can see that this program would benefit from them. Of course, the parent has to agree to this. So ultimately, they have to agree that this is something that they want. And then they are referred to us, they're entered into the system, and then we'll begin a dialogue with that family, with that child, invite them in. There is training that has to be undertaken. By the way, all of these services that we offer to the families and these children are 100% free. It costs them nothing. And that allows us then to open it up to anyone and everyone. And I think it's also important here to, when we say at risk, that's not a code for a low-income child or low-income family. Frankly, everybody is at risk. Every child, whether you're a heavily resourced child from a well-to-do community, family, or if you're a very low-income family or low-income child, everybody's at risk. So everybody is eligible to have a big brother or a big sister, and we will offer this program forever and to anyone and everyone, because our community is always at risk, and we always need to be able to offer this service so that they can truly find and chart a better path. And that's ultimately what this work is all about.
And so for, you know, this is going to be a two-part question. So for families who want to get their child involved, but also for volunteers who want to become a mentor, how do people get involved with the organization?
Well, for a mentor, all they would need to do is fill out our online application. And then typically within 24 or 48 hours, they will be not only sent an email, but sent a schedule of trainings and interviews at times so that the interview and the process can begin. for a family that has a child that they want to enroll, it's really as simple as that as well. They submit an application, they set up a time to come in and speak with a case manager. They're put onto the waiting list based on some training that they have to attend. And then it's a matter of us to then find the right match for that child. The interview process that happens with the child, the family child, I mean, and then with the big candidate is very intentional. And it's in that discovery where we find the very best candidate, the very best match. So for example, Amanda, you might be a lover of the arts and music. And then we find a little girl who says, oh, I love to play the violin, or I went to my first symphony concert and I loved it. Well, we might be able to say that you and she are a perfect match by virtue of your love of music. And then you and she are introduced after the process unfolds and you're off to the races. You're off to your own excursions and your own times and meetings together. And over time, you build up confidence, you build up a relationship. And sooner than later, and this always seems to happen, that child is inspiring you more so than you might be inspiring that child. It's a wonderful story I like to tell about a young man who was matched to a little brother. And now that little brother is taller than he is. So he's not so little anymore. Well, this child's family has family members that are incarcerated and he has no one. This little brother has now inspired his big brother to be a voracious reader. Now, to many of us, we would say, oh, well, that child is just going to repeat the cycle of prison pipeline. He's just going to go back to following what his family has done and be in jail. Well, this little boy, not so little, has now two consecutive summers won the summer reading contest that we put on every summer because he's just been reading so many books. And now he's inspired his big brother to be a reading buddy. And so they're reading almost competitively with each other now almost all year long. It's amazing to me, and yet it's so obvious. As much as we want these adults to inspire these children, the opposite is happening. These children are inspiring these adults and challenging them in different ways of thinking and different ways of operating in beautiful ways, in wonderful ways, in inspiring ways. And so this is the magic and the power of this program. These young people, they inspire us to do more and to think more and to be more than perhaps we even realize.
Now, what happens when a little ages out? And I don't know if that's the right term to use, but once they reach of age, being that we're trying to cultivate these long-lasting relationships, and maybe they have, you know, created this long-lasting relationship with their big, what happens afterwards?
Well, a child can enroll in the program as early as age 6, and they will graduate at 18. And that just means that they've graduated from high school or gotten a GED and followed one of those 3E paths that I mentioned. Once they have graduated, we call them alumni. We do make very intentional effort to keep in touch with them so we can track where they go. Did they get a job? Did they finish school? Did they go on to higher education beyond the four-year education? Did they get a master's degree? Did they pursue medical school, specialty training, a PhD, an MBA, whatever the case might be? Or are they employed? How has their career trajectory gone? Have they ascended the ranks in the company where they are? Are they earning a living wage? Those kinds of things. It's tough. It's not always the case that we stay in touch with them because life happens. They might get married. They might, if they're in the military, they might be deployed. They might take a job in another city. When the oil boom was happening, and you could say it might still be happening, they might move to a different part of the country, to maybe the Dakotas or the Eagleford Shale, perhaps, or other parts of the country to pursue different types of careers. So we try to stay in touch with them. We don't always, but we try to. And we want them to stay in touch with us. We want to know how they're doing because we want them to communicate their paths post high school with us. And how can we potentially further assist them or connect them with other agencies that might offer additional support, which, of course, we're part of the United Way. So we have all of the network that is the United Way to be able to offer supplemental services that we cannot provide. And so connecting those young people, if they need them, with supplemental services. But we stay in touch with them as best we can because we want to track their success and we want to be able to measure how they're doing and still be part of this community of alumni littles.
And so you have told us some successful stories, and I think that, you know, that's what we love to hear. We love to hear that success. And so kind of walk us through what it feels like as a mentor and even as part of the agency, you know, what it feels like. You kind of alluded to it earlier, but you're along there for the success. It's like your success, correct?
Well, it's a shared success. This is a team that's very invested in this work. I'm working with people that have been with the agency for many years. The CEO president has been with the agency for almost 24 years doing this work. So a lot of time. Many of my colleagues are also bigs themselves, as well as employees. So you can tell that the deep connection that is felt across the agency where all of these young people are concerned is real. It's very authentic. Amanda, to be able to play even just a small tangential role in the success of any of these children, whether it be getting a GED, graduating high school, going on to the military, getting a job, there's no amount of money. They're hard to describe the words, the glee, the exuberance that one leaves with, feels when something like that happens, because we all are so working so very hard every single day to do our part to help these children, and to hear from the bigs and to know what their investment of time and effort is, and how the steps back and the steps forward and the back and forth can happen. It's incredible. And it is such a gift. It is its own reward, Amanda and Zach. It really is. To be able to know a young person who has ascended higher, who has just been accepted to college, who will go away. And you pray that they will fulfill all of the years of that experience. You don't know that they will. You hope that they do. But just that they've been accepted, that they've achieved something like that, even just that milestone, it is its own reward. It is absolutely priceless. And there's so many examples of young people succeeding, whether they pick up a new instrument, or they develop a talent that they didn't have. They develop a love of painting or appreciation of art, or they have an experience. A little brother I know recently who loves computer games, and his big brother took him to tour a C-130 aircraft. If you're familiar with what that is, it's a giant Air Force aircraft that transports boats and planes within its cargo bay. It's a huge aircraft. And
kid loves games, he knows what a C-130 is. I can tell you that.
Yeah, yeah, he does. And so he got to see this on the inside, just he himself, a personal visit. So the access that young man had, that memory, that afternoon, will never leave him. And that's extraordinary. If you cannot envision yourself doing something, then right there, that's a barrier to your progress, your own progress. And this child's world was shattered in a beautiful way by virtue of his big brother intervening in his life in a sincere, meaningful way to create this experience for him that he otherwise never would have had. And that's extraordinary. And to be able to have played a tiny role in making that happen, I sleep so well at night because I know that the work that we are doing here is changing lives for the better. And so to all of your audience and listeners, I just want to thank them for this time and ask them to consider getting involved in this work, because we need them. The pandemic has really made the volunteer inquiries vastly lower than they have been at any other time. And right now, by virtue of the pandemic and the effects of the pandemic, has created gaps that were already there. It's just widened them. We need to install big brothers and big sisters into these young people's lives to help them manage this crisis, to manage their stress, their anxiety that might be further exacerbated by the pandemic, to help get them back in terms of their classroom, their education, and then all of the other experiential learning that we all know happens outside of the classroom. And just that one-to-one contact is so critical to help them manage and navigate the lost year that was 2020. And so much work needs to be done. And that's why opportunities like this, Zach and Amanda, are so incredibly valuable. So I just really appreciate being able to tell your audience about who we are and what we do and invite their involvement in that work.
Well, and what I love about this organization so much is, you know, you really can't overstate how the name fits the organization. Big brothers, big sisters, you really are a big brother to this little. You really are a big sister to this Little, all the different activities you can take them on, you know, maybe just offering advice to them if they're going through things at home or with their friends or at school. I really love that about this organization. Hugh, one of my last questions for you is, what is your favorite part about what you do? You know, you've been with this organization for a while now. What is the favorite part about your day-to-day job?
My favorite part is that I work in support of and alongside some of the very best people I've ever had the privilege of working with. Some of the most dedicated people I've ever worked with. And this job is not easy. People don't understand what Big Brothers Big Sisters is. You were so kind to put our new logo on the screen. That was just launched about 3 years ago. We're often confused with the Boys and Girls Club, and they're a wonderful organization, but we do different things. And so to be able to work, like I said, with some incredibly dedicated people who put year after year of their life into this work is probably the greatest joy I have every day, because I get to see their dedication and it inspires me to redouble my effort. Then, of course, when I get to share in the success of these young people who are fulfilling their dreams, and that I can play a tiny role in the fulfillment of their dream, and they share in their exuberance and their excitement of what they're about to embark upon, there's no amount of money that I could ever be paid that would ever equal that reward. And it's just the best. So I come to work every single day, excited, renewed, and humbled, because it's so good. It's such a wonderful, wonderful mission.
And to piggyback off of Zach's question, what legacy are you trying to leave?
If I can leave this beautiful community that's given me so much over so many years, a small bit of improvement in the form of vested young people who will take the reins and make this their own community one day, then I will feel that I've done a part for the betterment of our community. That's the legacy, to make this place, which is so wonderful, warts and all, I love San Antonio, but to make it better, one step at a time, one life at a time, one child at a time, one match at a time.
And Hugh, the last question I have for you before we let you, of course, plug in Big Brothers, Big Sisters, and where we can find you guys, what advice would you give to someone who is looking to get involved? They could possibly be a great big to a little, but maybe they just don't think they can do that great of a job.
It's a great question. To any prospective big out there, I would encourage them to be open to the possibility of transformation, that they might actually hold the keys to the future of a life that could be transformed by virtue of their presence in that life. And to be open to that, to embrace it, to not be afraid of it, because you just might be the spark that lights the fire within a child's spirit that takes them to NASA, to college, to being a firefighter, to being president, to being the mayor, anything. We are only limited by our own imaginations. And if you center yourself in that thought, it's the sky's the limit. Our bigs are the elixir that helps a child develop and grow and sets them off on that trajectory. And that's a big responsibility. And this work isn't for everyone. And we need to acknowledge that. But for the right person and the right people, this can be a wonderful place to talk about a legacy, to create a legacy, to make an impact, to make a big impact in the future of our community, of our city, of our state, of our nation, all for the better.
And this has just been such a wonderful interview, and everything that y'all are doing for the community of San Antonio and our youth here is just incredible. And so, you know, we want to give you a little bit of time to just plug where people can find Big Brothers, Big Sisters, your social media, your website, if any events are going on, just go ahead and you know, shout it out there for our audience.
Okay. Well, thank you. For anyone that's interested in signing up to become or wants to learn more about what it means to be a big brother or big sister in our program, our website is www.bigmentor.org. And there is a tab that says volunteer. And that tab will take that person to a screen that has basic criteria of what it means to be a big in our program. And at the bottom, there's a button that will take them to an application. They fill that application out. And then within 24 or 48 hours, they should be contacted. And at that point, they'll begin the process. We do have an ambitious summer planned for special events. You know, with the pandemic, it's made fundraising an extra challenge. It's a challenge in normal times, but it's certainly an extra challenge in these times. The thing that we've decided to do this year, and it'll be the second annual, it's called Car Wash for Kids' Sake. For many, many years, we were raising money by bowling, and that has been our bread and butter for many, many years. Well, the pandemic changed that because in an enclosed space, that's just not practical. It's not safe. It's not healthy. So we developed an event that we actually stole from one of our affiliates in Arizona, of all places. So they say copyright infringement is the greatest form of flattery, right? So what we decided to do was to copy that event, and we call it Car Wash for Kids' Sake. And so we're going to be raising money to wash cars from June 1 through the end of August. So every weekend, we will be washing cars around the city, and we'll be inviting people to sponsor, to raise money, to come help us wash cars, to form teams. That is still in the works and still being developed, but more to come. So if you're wanting to help us raise money to match more children that are on the waiting list, to help us support children and matches that are already matched, the information on that will be very soon available, but we're very excited about it. And we welcome you all on SA Talk and the listeners and the audience of SA Talk to join us. We would love to have your help. If anyone ever wants to reach out to me or to our office, they can call us anytime at 210-225-6322. My own extension is 155. We always need gifts and welcome donations that are 100% tax deductible to help us fulfill this work. We are a United Way delegate agency, and we do receive grant support from private foundations. We also do, of course, special events. And individuals are more than welcome to make personal gifts to us. It's about a $3 million annual operation. We, from year to year, don't even know if that's going to be realized. So it takes all of our friends to give, to help, to volunteer, to make that all possible. So opportunities like this, as I say, are extremely valuable. So my sincerest thanks to both of you and to your audience for their attention and their desire to help us.
Yeah. So listeners, I mean, go visit them, bigmentor.org. If you want to visit their website on Facebook, I believe it was Big Brothers, Big Sisters of South Texas, and Instagram, go check out what they're doing. I think it's Big Mentor SA. Hopefully I have that correct.
Yes.
You guys even have a YouTube channel.
We do. We are on YouTube. We're on LinkedIn. We're on Facebook. We're on Instagram. I am only on LinkedIn, so happy to extol praises and say thanks and make new friends there. But yes, please join us on any of those channels. We would love to see you. We'd love to engage with you. We are always looking for new opportunities to recruit new bigs. So anyone interested, I would happily speak to them about it. I'll just go for broke. Would love to have both you and Zachary and Amanda as bigs if you're so inclined and so interested.
Well, you know, just listening to it, I think it'd be such a fun opportunity just to, you know, make a difference. We, Zach and I always talk about with this podcast, that's what we want to do. We want to make a difference in San Antonio, and what better way than through a life of a child?
That's true. No pressure at all. Think about it. It's not for everyone, but we always need good people. And I know that you two are very good people.
Well, thank you again, Hugh. We really appreciate you coming on the podcast and sharing your insight, telling the story about what Big Brothers and Big Sisters does for the community of San Antonio. We can't reiterate enough how much we appreciate you coming on.
Well, it's my pleasure. And I thank you both for this show, for your audience's time, and this opportunity. As I say, just to be able to have the conversation is so valuable. So my sincerest thanks to both of you.
Well, thanks again, listeners. We're going to take another quick break. And when we come back, Amanda and I will give our thoughts on today's guest. So stay tuned.
From coast to coast, from the Great Lakes to the Gulf, at Spectrum Reach, we make local businesses big and big brands look local. With the best content, insights, products, and people, be on every screen with that one idea you need to turn a consumer into your customer. We're the most trusted media partner in America, and we're also your neighbors. Welcome to Spectrum Reach. Let us show you around the neighborhood. Grow your business. Go to spectrumreach.com to get started.
Thank you for listening to this archived episode of the original SA Talk podcast. I really hope you enjoyed the interview. If you enjoyed this episode and are looking for more content, you'll want to hit that subscribe or follow button, depending on which podcast platform you are using. If you're listening on Apple Podcasts, I do also ask that you please give us a rate and review. That really helps the podcast grow. Lastly, if you want to keep up with the podcast, check us out on social media at SA Pod Network. Take care and viva San Antonio.